We launched the science up and tell them stories. I'm afraid we told them somewhat more soberly. I hadn't realised our glorious new camp up science, to put another phrase. And most of the time I resist the temptation, but not when I'm on a platform. Public engagement with science began at about the same time. Its origins are quite interesting. We had a right-wing government and an economic crisis, and guess what happened? Mrs. Thatcher, kind enough a chemist herself, truly seemed to regard science as an elitist luxury, like opera. And if people wanted it, they could pay for it themselves. And so the scientific community, after 3 or 4 years of utter misery and crushed humiliation, decided to fight back in its own little way by inventing a thing called public understanding of science, about which we can lead to the discussion afterwards, because you know more about it than I do now. So I got involved in the public understanding of science technically quite early on, but it would be wrong to say that I cared about public engagement or about science. They are both abstractions, they're generalisations, and the whole point about journalism is it starts with a particular. The whole point about your interest in anything is that it starts not from a generalisation, but from the particular. It's the paddle-footed worm that's actually thrilling, not biology. And the other thing is, I actually cared about getting stories in the paper. I didn't care about science at all, I just cared about getting stories in the paper. The world I described to you was a world in which newsprint was expensive and was subsidised by advertising. And as advertising shrank, so did the space available for print. You could actually watch a paper go down by 4 pages in the course of an afternoon and suddenly see all your work going from Burton. And roughly 2/3 of the material that could have been published in the paper was spiked. Every sub-editor's desk actually had a little stand with a spike on which copy, because you wrote on paper, of course, was slammed and called the spike, and you could go there and rescue it afterwards. So getting stuff into the paper was our full-time preoccupation. How you do these things, I have explained elsewhere, and will talk at length about it if I'm asked, but I won't volunteer information. All I can say is I didn't spend much time worrying about not having a scientific background, partly because the science and journalism do share one or two things quite closely and start from a position of constructive ignorance. If you're a scientist, you are acutely aware of what it is you don't know and how you might go about finding it. And that, surprise, surprise, is exactly what journalism is too. So there is not such, it seems to me, a deep divide between scientists and journalists. Now, we have a different situation. Most of the science correspondents have a degree in science, or even a doctorate. Very few of them, however, can expect a lifelong career in newspapers or in any form of mass media. Some of the best reporting in the world, scientific reporting in the world, is now delivered by bloggers. I am antediluvian though I may appear. I am happy to actually confirm that. It's also fair to say that probably some of the worst and most stubbornly ignorant reporting in the world is now delivered by bloggers. And that's fine. In the world of newsprint and hot metal, the same applied. You can find rubbish anywhere. And there were organs in my youth devoted entirely to the fabrication of fairy stories, horse manure, and warmed up gossip. But people who bought terrible papers had to go and buy them from a newsagent. And while they were there, they could at least see that they weren't the only versions of the truth. Because you could actually see a whole rack of papers and a whole rack of headlines everywhere. And this is not the case for someone who looks at a screen. If you get your information from a screen, you have to choose where to go. And then when you choose, you don't see anything else. Whereas the blessing of mass media was that you were served with science whether or not you wanted it. You could actually be told things you hadn't known that you wanted to know. And this is one of the services that the mass media provided to a varying degree over most of my working career.